This is Morning Edition on NHPR. Today we begin an ongoing series that looks at New Hampshire's heroin and opiate epidemic. We're calling it Dangerous Ends, and over the next year, we'll explain how people become addicted, how prescription drugs contributed to the rise in heroin use, and how the state is responding to a crisis that now kills more Granite Staters than traffic accidents. In our first story, the use of the anti-overdose drug Narcan has doubled since 2012. Legislation signed by Governor Hassan makes the drug available to those at risk of overdose, as well as to the family and friends of people with a history of opiate abuse. But as NHPR's Paige Sutherland reports, getting doctors, prescribers, and the public up to speed on the new law could take some time.
It was a quiet summer night in June when EMTs in Laconia got the call of a possible overdose at a nearby house. When they arrived, roommates showed them into a bedroom with posters on the wall, laundry spread on the floor, and a snowboard laid up against a dresser. A 29-year-old man was lying on the ground, not breathing. He had overdosed on OxyContin and fentanyl. He was wearing pastel board shorts and a T-shirt. He looked young and fit. EMTs got right to work, at first giving him Narcan up his nose.
You want what, the nasally?
Yeah,
I'll
give it nasally. Yeah.
But when his heart rate and breathing did not increase, EMTs gave him Narcan through an IV. He woke up in a matter of seconds.
He just gave the Narcan.
Yep.
So let's flush it in.
Put your fingers on this.
Respirations are up to 10. Eyes are opening.
All right. All right.
97.
That's
02. Pulse is 105.
Lay back. Hey, bud.
Lay back.
Hey, bud.
Lay back.
Hey, there. We got
it's coming out of your nose. Lay back.
Whoa,
hey,
sit down. Now.
Hey, lay down.
It's okay, bud. With
lay
the
down.
Department. It's
lay
okay.
down. Give you a bunch of Narcan to wake you up.
It's all right, bud.
What did you take?
You're good, man.
Do you know what did this to you?
Last year, Narcan was given roughly 1,900 times statewide. This year, the state has reached almost half that number in just the first 4 months. Lieutenant Jason Bean with the Laconia Fire Department says in Laconia alone, Narcan has been used more than 60 times since January.
It's absolutely a life-saving tool that if we get there in time, Narcan almost instantly reverses whatever they're overdosing on if it's a narcotic-based drug like that. And it's probably one of the more important drugs that we're carrying now, especially with this epidemic.
That's why lawmakers and the governor supported legislation this year to get Narcan to more people, including police officers, family and friends, and even addicts. But so far, the rollout has been slow. As of this year, training requirement for police officers who carry Narcan has gone down to 8 hours from 100 hours. But only half a dozen departments are in the process of getting officers certified. New Hampshire also joined 39 other states in Washington, D.C. in allowing friends and family of addicts to get prescriptions for Narcan. And federal lawmakers are working to expand such access nationwide. Bob Stout with the state's Board of Pharmacy says part of the slow rollout has been due to the bill's simplicity.
The problem that we have in the early stages here is just the lack of clarity in the bill, you know, around both how dispensing will go, limitations, and then proper training for people.
Stout says until the specifics are cleared up, it will take time for physicians and pharmacists to feel comfortable prescribing it. Narcan, which is not addictive and cannot be used to get high, has been used in emergency rooms since the 1960s. But Lieutenant Bean of Laconia says it's only recently become a necessity for first responders.
It was always one of those medications that we'd use it occasionally, but then we'd have to replace it when it expired because we never used it. Now it's to the point where the stuff that we have on the trucks isn't expiring because we're using it so much.
The drug binds to receptors in the brain, so the opioids can't. That means it blocks any form of opioid, take oxy, heroin, or fentanyl, from stopping someone's breathing. Depending on how many drugs a person takes, breathing can stop in a matter of minutes. And because more and more opioids are being laced with fentanyl, which is a more potent and dangerous narcotic, first responders often have to double their doses of Narcan. Since the late 90s, New Hampshire has seen a 500% increase in overdose deaths. We're now up to 325 in 2014. And a third of those deaths were from overdosing on opioids such as fentanyl and heroin. But more and more people are surviving overdoses. Studies show for every drug-related death, there are 9 survived overdoses. And the use of Narcan is expected to increase the survival rate. Kathy King's son is one of those Narcan success stories. Her son, who is in his 20s, is now in recovery from heroin, but she's still haunted by his close call.
When they're using Narcan, they're bringing people back. If they do not have Narcan on their truck or in their police car, these people are not living, they're dying.
Donna Marston of Concord also has a son in long-term recovery. She says to her knowledge, Narcan was never used on her 32-year-old son, but said when he was using, having Narcan around gave her a sense of security.
Can you imagine walking into your child's bedroom and he or she is unresponsive, you know, and then having to call the ambulance and having to wait, depending on where you live, you know, it could be 4 minutes, it could be 10 minutes for them to get there. How would you feel if your child passed and you're standing there watching your child die?
Marston now runs a support group and is working to help families gain access to Narcan. But expanding this access has mainly been an issue of education, not cost. The nasal kit costs on average around $30 to $40, but whether insurance will cover the cost depends on one's individual coverage. And as demand for Narcan increases, the cost may go up. That's what happened in both Massachusetts and Rhode Island after they passed similar laws. At the Concord Hospital, the price of Narcan has almost doubled, from $13 a dose to $28 in the past year. And pharmacist David DePiro says he expects that to continue to go up once the new law is fully implemented. But support group leader John Burns urges parents, spouses, and friends to get whatever they can afford. His 18-year-old daughter was saved by Narcan after overdosing on heroin last year. He now runs support groups in Dover and Rochester and has been working to get dozens of families Narcan. But he's worried not enough people know about it. He says many of the doctors he has called across the state are not yet informed of the new law.
You know, heroin's almost looked at as more of a law enforcement than a healthcare issue, and this is a prime example of it, where the healthcare community isn't even aware of an important law like access for the public to Narcan, let alone trained or understanding it.
The bill does, however, allow the use of standing orders. That means a doctor can authorize Narcan prescriptions for anyone who walks into a pharmacy and says they're a person at risk of an overdose or has a friend or family member who is. Under this measure, third-party organizations such as drug treatment centers and NGOs can also store and distribute Narcan. Walgreens, who is one of the state's largest pharmacy chains, already prescribes Narcan in Massachusetts and Rhode Island. But as promising as Narcan is, it still doesn't cure the addiction. Justin Younger is 31 years old and lives at a treatment center in Dover. He has been clean of heroin for more than a year now. He was saved by Narcan multiple times.
I literally, left the hospital and went to my friend's house, who's a dealer, right away and just grabbed some more. So, that didn't even faze me. Almost dying didn't even faze me. It's kind of insane if you really think about it.
But John Burns says Narcan buys more people more time. More time to seek recovery.
Narcan is not, it's not the end-all be-all. There are people that don't seek recovery after, but there's a lot of people that do. And if they're not here, we can't get them treatment. So why not use this tool and give them a shot to find recovery like my daughter did?
And advocates say that second chance could make all the difference for some people. For NHPR News, I'm Paige Sutherland.